Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly with you on a Tuesday night, taking you up until 8 o'clock. We'll have leading off coming up at 7:30 tonight. Phillies looking to get game two of a must-sweep four-game series out in Colorado tonight. So we'll get to that. We'll get to the Phils a little later on. Nick Sirianni spoke today, as well as Jalen Hurts, a number of players, as Nick Sirianni signs his contract extension. We'll get to that a little later on. A lot of stuff to get to over the next hour and a half before leading off at 7:30. But where we need to start tonight is with the big story to be resolved this week. And by the way, this hour is brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. And the big thing to be resolved here this week is the future of the Tush Push. Now, no vote last week. They tabled those meetings at that time to these meetings this month. The vote, it feels like it's going to take place tomorrow. And it feels like the consensus amongst most people who've been following this thing, people plugged into the NFL, is that this play will eventually be banned. Here was Kyle Brandt this morning on NFL Network giving his opinion on what he thinks is going to happen this week.
Mark your calendar for Wednesday, May 21st. You're like, wow, that's soon. It's in 48 hours. Wednesday, May 21st is when I believe that the National Football League will ban the Tush Push. I think it's happening. The vote is coming in the next couple days. The league meeting will go on. We'll have reporters, all that stuff. I think it's going to go. I really do. And I'm just reading the tea leaves. I don't quote sources. You guys know that's not my thing. I'm reading opinions. I'm reading anonymous opinions and on-record opinions from the league, from different owners and dignitaries around. I think this is it. And I think the Eagles will adapt. And they'll run some version that, of course, goes by the rules. But this version we're seeing here right now, I think will go away.
And that seems to be what the general consensus is. Roger Goodell, all you had to do was listen to him last month. He clearly doesn't like it. He wants it banned. Other teams clearly want it banned. We'll get into all that. But the question immediately is, how does it impact the Eagles? Assuming this play is banned, how big of a deal is this for the Eagles moving forward? How much will it hurt them next season and beyond? And I'll just say this off the top. This play being banned would be an absolute disaster for the Eagles. It's a huge part of what they do. It's a huge advantage that they have in one of the most critical elements of the game, one of the most critical parts of football. Short yardage is a massive, massive part of winning football games. The Eagles essentially convert every short yardage situation largely due to how effective they are at executing this play. I think it would significantly hurt them. I think this would cost them multiple games throughout the season. And I am extremely worried about what it will do to this offense if the Tush Push is banned. And I want to know if you agree. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Are you worried about the Tush Push being banned, or do you think the Eagles will be fine? 215-592-9494. I think this is a huge deal. And, you know, you think about all the times over the last 3 years, since the Eagles really started running this play in 2022, when the Eagles have either a third and one, or they have a fourth and one, you don't need to worry about it because they're going to pick up that yard. You know they're going to get it basically every time. Think about all the times down on the goal line. Think about all the Jalen Hurts Tush Push touchdowns. I'm sure, you know, many of you out there have profited off Jalen Hurts anytime touchdowns, because how many games will we look at and say Jalen Hurts getting a sneak from the goal line is going to convert, he's going to score a touchdown? This play has been instrumental to the Eagles' success over the last 3 years. And I think if it is taken away, it will be really difficult for them to overcome it. And a lot of what I've heard from people who aren't worried, oh, well, this isn't a big deal. You know, you'll just give it to Saquon. You have the best running back in football. You have the best offensive line in football. It doesn't matter. You just do it a different way. That might work some of the time. But the beauty of the Tush Push, and the reason why I think it's so critical and why it's so brilliant, is because it's such a low risk. Like, you don't have to take the chance of going behind the line of scrimmage. You don't get it, you go again next time. When you're handing the ball off, that risks a negative play. That risks a penalty. Just watch every other NFL team. Watch NFL games that don't involve the Eagles every single week. You'd be astonished at how many times teams cannot convert in short yardage. They have a negative play. They commit a penalty. Totally sets your team back. This is something that the Eagles don't need to worry about. And so many games in the NFL come down to a few yards. You hear the cliche all the time, it's a gain of inches. It's literally true. It comes down to that first down that you need to extend a drive. It comes down to that first down that you need to pick up to, kill the clock at the end of a game. Can you score a touchdown instead of kicking the field goal? So much of that is resolved by this play. And I know there are some people out there, and I'd say a decent amount, that aren't worried about it. Heard a number of people talk about it on the station today. And also Ross Tucker, who, I mean, knows as much as anybody. Here's Ross talking about the tush push and whether he's worried it would affect the Eagles.
Seems pretty clear that Commissioner Goodell and other people at the NFL do not like the tush push. They want it out. I think we probably have to resign ourselves to the fact that that is likely at this point. I've already moved on to I cannot wait when the Eagles still do a push, a quarterback sneak that looks very similar, still has success, and all of this was much ado about nothing, which is probably what it's about to be.
I hope it's true. I hope the Eagles can find a way around this, but I'm not so sure. And I think the Eagles feel this way as well. And just listen to Jeff Darlington on ESPN talking about the tush push debate here and what the Eagles have been doing in the last couple weeks to try to influence the vote.
Well, here we are again. You mentioned the fact the owners are about to meet again. This time around, we do anticipate a vote. I was at the league meetings in Palm Beach about 6 weeks ago now when this was an intense discussion about whether they would ban the tush push. Green Bay put forward the proposal to potentially ban it, but I can tell you just from my discussions, I don't think that the league felt like they had enough of the vote to wind up banning this rule. So we'll find out in these meetings whether that will happen. Right now it feels 50-50. Let's say it is. The Eagles are the team right now that are kind of calling around, trying to see if they can find enough teams to make sure that this does not get banned. They don't want to see it happen. They'd essentially need to find 8 teams because it takes 24 teams to vote on something to get it banned. If the Eagles can find 8 teams to say that we're going to keep it, ultimately the tush push will stay in effect. Very important few days between these owners at the league meetings.
And you know what that tells me? That tells me that if the Eagles are taking the time to call around, to lobby other teams, and rightfully so, that they know it's important, that they think it's really important to their success. And I look at this team, am I telling you that, you know, it's going to torpedo the season or anything like that? Of course not. Do the Eagles have really good players? Yes. Do they have a really smart organization and a really smart coaching staff? Absolutely. But the bottom line is, there is no way that they would convert in short yardage at the same rate that they have the last 3 years if they don't have this play. There's no chance. Even if they're still really good at it, even if they're still the best in the league, they're not doing it the same rate that they did this year. And you look at, the Eagles played in a decent amount of close games this year. How many games can we look at and say, yeah, them getting that short yardage, them getting that tush push is the difference. And this is something that I think if we went back and we looked at it the last couple of years, we'd find a lot of those games. We'd find a lot of those instances. That's how important this play is. That's how critical it is. And honestly, losing it would be a disaster for this team. I'm extremely interested in what happens tomorrow. I think it's an incredibly important day for the Eagles. And I mean, as far as whether it should be gone or shouldn't be gone, I think we all know the answer to that. And we'll get to the people who want this thing out of the game coming up in a few minutes as well. But I think it's incredibly important. I think it would hurt the Eagles significantly. And what do I feel? 215-592-9494. Are you worried about the tush push being banned? Do you think it would significantly hurt the Eagles? I do. I think they could still, you know, have a really good offense. I think they could still be one of the better short yardage teams in the league, but I don't think they'd be the, no doubt about it, absolute best anymore. I don't think they'd convert at whatever it is, 92% or whatever the number has been the last 3 years. It's a really big deal, and one night I feel about it. 215-592-9494. Get to the phones coming up in a minute. But first, we'll check in with our producer tonight, Francisco Rojas, producing the show. What do you think, Fran? Am I hitting the panic button too early? Am I being a negative Nelly here? Or am I on to something? Do you think this would be a huge deal for the Eagles?
I mean, you're over the top per usual. That's not a surprise. Do I think that it's something in the beginning it will affect the Eagles you know, offense, considering they've done it, what, the last three seasons? So, yeah, it's going to be something that, because they've been, like you said, has been so successful at it. You know, all the short yardage plays, all the short yardage touchdowns. Think about all the, you know, the quarterback sneaks that Jalen's been able to be successful, you know, behind this offensive line. Like, yeah, it's just going to be something they're going to have to adapt to. It's something they've been doing, you know, like I said, the last three seasons. Early on, I think, you know, maybe the first month or two of the season, might be something they have to adapt to, but they'll eventually figure it out. It's, you know, they've been doing the last three seasons, so, but they'll be fine eventually. So maybe not early on, but eventually.
I hope so, but I think this is a huge deal, and if you want to get into 1-5-592-9494, I think this is something that could really hurt them. Just when you look at, this is such a critical element of football, and I think over the past few years, because of this play, because of the frequency in which the Eagles have run it, and the effectiveness with which they've run it, I think we've gotten spoiled. You know, honestly, I think we've gotten spoiled with every third down and one, every fourth and one. We just know, okay, well, they're going to get it. When you don't get those anymore at the same kind of clip, that influences the entire game. That changes the entire game. And the bottom line is, this is a huge part of the Eagles' offense. This is a huge part of what they do. And to take that away, to have this be something that has been such an important element for the Eagles, and all of a sudden just say, yeah, your most effective element of football, the thing that you do best on offense, you can't do anymore. I think it's insane. I think it's crazy to believe that the Eagles are going to be fine, that they'll just move on, they'll figure something else out. No, this is a play that they need. This is a play that is critical to their success, and if they lose it, I do think it would significantly hurt them. But we'd love to get your take. 215-592-9494. Let's get to the phones. Go to Jeff in Allentown. What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, hey, I don't know if it's going to be that much of a big deal, because consider this. We've seen the Eagles before. The NFL is a copycat league. Everyone knows that. But we've seen the Eagles are not the copycats. The Eagles are the ones who are the trendsetters. And what they did this offseason, didn't they re-sign Van Sumeren, and then they got like another guy that are fullbacks. And so they're prepping for the chance that it does get, if it does get banned, if it doesn't get banned, great. We're kind of back to where we were before. But if it doesn't, then they basically bring back the fullback, and it becomes a bruiser game again. They still have the offensive line. They still have the power of our offensive line, which is the best in the league, if not one of the best. And then you basically have somebody who is probably just as much of a bruiser, in fact, even more so than Jalen Hurts.
But this is the thing, Jeff, and this is where I disagree with that. Like, yeah, okay, you have a fullback. A lot of teams have fullbacks. But the problem is, the beauty of this play is it's an extremely low risk. Like, you snap the ball, you go. If you don't get on the off chance you don't get it, okay, you go on the next down. If you have to hand the ball off, and I know you have Saquon Barkley, you take the chance of losing 3-4 yards. You take the chance of a holding penalty, something like that. And that, I think, is a big deal. Like, we can't just assume that, oh, well, you have Saquon, you have a fullback, you're going to be able to run the ball effectively. That's not the way it works every time.
But, I mean, at that point, like, for the fullback, I mean, wouldn't it just basically be he'd be right there on the handoff, and they would probably practice it all the time in practice. And I think that would basically, this is what the Eagles do, and this is what Nick Sirianni does. It's they run these scenarios all the time. And if they basically are running these scenarios, they're basically running those fullback pitches, and it just becomes automatic, just like the tush push.
Well, no, what are you saying, Jeff? Like, you're going to give the ball to the fullback? You're not going to give the ball to Ben Van Sumeren when you have Saquon Barkley in the backfield.
Yes, but I know there's Barkley in the backfield, but at a certain point, the idea is to just pound it in. And the thing is, maybe that's what they don't want to do with Barkley in those situations. It's put him under a pile, and that, you know, for something like that, they want to be able to just kind of get somebody just to that at first hit. I mean, Barkley doesn't basically go down at first hit, but the idea is you get someone, you know, that you get someone bigger, you get someone, you know, stronger, like, you know, strong like bulls, smart like tractor, in a way.
Yeah, I hear you, Jeff, and I appreciate the call. I just I don't think it's something necessarily works like that. And also, I think the mistake we make is when we say, oh, well, the Eagles are good at the tush-push because they work on a lot. No, the Eagles are good at the tush-push because they have the talent to execute the play. Like, there are a lot of other teams who have tried to run the play. They can't run it effectively. You know why they can't run it effectively? It's not because, you know, they don't know how to do it. I'm sure they've looked on film. They've seen how the Eagles do it. It's not overly complicated. They don't have the talent to do it. They don't have a quarterback who has the leg strength of Jalen Hurts that's able to run the play that effectively. They don't have an offensive line that is as dominant and powerful as the Eagles' offensive line is, where they can't run it effectively. So I look at it, and we'll get into in the next segment here, like why this play is being taken away, why, to me, it is incredibly unfair that this is the way this has trended and this is the way it's potentially going here. But the Eagles are so good at this play because the talent that they have. Nobody else is able to do it. And if you take that away, if you take away something that's been incredibly important to the offense, something that's been incredibly effective, it is naive to think that they're just going to pick up and they're going to be fine next year. I just don't see that being the case. Let's go to Keith in Bucks County. What's up, Keith?
Hey, I got two comments. One had to do with this morning's argument on Andrew Painter. You leave him as a starter, number one. Number two, Jolovich's stance about the bullpen. Mike Schmidt said Sunday on the broadcast, there's no more important part of a baseball team than the bullpen, especially now since your starters only go six innings. That's number one.
Yeah, well, Keith, I got to say, I sided with Joe in that argument, and honestly, I thought...
garbage!
And maybe it's because he set such a high mark for such a high bar for himself. I was a little disappointed in Jolly's performance today.
Well, I disagree. I disagree with both of them.
Okay.
First of all, your bullpen is important. You can't just say it's starting pitching because of the way baseball has evolved now. And let's talk about the tush push. A, I don't think it's going to get banned. There's already been talk coming out of the meetings that the owners do not want language that penalizes just one team. And clearly, it would penalize the Eagles. I guess my analogy is, you can no longer throw the ball more than 30 yards down the field, even though you have an arm to throw 80, because it's unfair to the teams that don't have a quarterback that can throw 80. It's just a ridiculous notion. Your premise is absolutely correct. Anybody can run it. They just don't have the talent to do it. And the Eagles do. And it's kind of like saying to the Ravens, Lamar Jackson can't run 40 yards with the ball with his speed because there aren't any other quarterbacks that can run that fast.
Right. No, I hear you, Keith, and I agree and appreciate the call. And that's the part about this that is so frustrating, because this is not an exploitation of the rules by the Eagles. I mean, I would understand it if this was something that was going across the NFL and everybody could do it. Like, if everybody's doing it and every third and fourth and one just becomes, you know, completely uneventful, then that's one thing. But this is about one team. And this is a witch hunt. Like, let's face it. This is a witch hunt. This is the league out to ban the Eagles from doing something that they do better than everybody else. And it's ridiculous. And I think it's going to happen. We'll get more into that part of it in the next segment. But as far as how it's going to affect the team, I absolutely think it's going to affect the team. I think this would be a significant deal. I think this would be a huge deal for the Eagles. And I think it would legitimately cost them games next season. When you look at how important this play is, you look at how critical it's been to this offense, to their success over the last few years, I think it would be naive to believe that they're just going to move on and they're going to be fine without this play. They need this play, and they should have this play. And if they don't have it, it would be a big loss. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. When we get back, get to all your calls. Also, you know, why we're even having this conversation, people on the other side will get to that as well. And we'll also, the last caller brought up one of the debates today. Weigh on both the debates that I heard today involving Jolly versus Joe Giglio and Joe versus Ike. So we'll get into those. I'll give you my read on how they both went today. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly. This hour brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. Talking about the tush push, the vote expected to finally happen tomorrow. I mean, this has been not just really the story in Philadelphia. This has been, I feel like, the one of the biggest stories in the NFL offseason this year is the future of this play and whether it's going to be allowed and whether the Eagles are going to be able to do it moving forward. And as I said in the first segment, the question I'm asking you tonight is, how worried are you about this? How much do you think this will affect the Eagles in a negative way if the play's banned? I think it's a huge deal. I really do. And I don't want to hear about, oh, well, that just means you're not confident in the team. And I can't stand how some people will say, oh, well, I hope it gets banned so we can do something else and show them we don't need it. Forget that. I don't want to let them ban this. This is incredibly important. And it's not a lack of confidence in the team. It's standing up for what is right. And sometimes you need to stand up for what is right. And the bottom line is, if the Eagles lose this play, it would be unfair, it would be wrong, and it's been something that's been incredibly important to them. And we'll get back to the phones in a minute here. But honestly, I'm appalled that we even need to have this conversation. Because everybody agrees it will be banned, but it absolutely shouldn't. I mean, this would be such a miscarriage of justice if the Eagles ban this play. Because again, as we said in the first segment, you're literally banning, punishing one team for being good at something that everybody else isn't. If this was something that across the NFL, every third and fourth and one is uneventful and everybody's just getting it, that would be different. But that's not the case. We just saw in the AFC Championship game, the Bills lost the game because they couldn't do it. Like, the Bills had an opportunity to get a fourth and one. If they get that play in Kansas City, the Eagles are probably playing them in the Super Bowl and not the Chiefs. They couldn't do it. The Eagles could. And this is what bothers me so much, is that's all it is. And yesterday on NFL Network, this was an interview with Commanders linebacker Frankie Louvu. You'll remember from the NFC Championship game, the jackass who jumped over the line, tried to take Jalen Hurts' head off. Here's what Frankie Louvu had to say about the tush push and his thoughts on it.
On the tush push, whether to keep it or to ban it. As a guy who has been out there in a playoff game trying to defend it, is it unfair and should the league ban it?
Yeah, I think they should ban it. You know what I mean? But I know the argument is going to be about, like, hey, you guys have to stop it. Don't get us in short yardage and whatnot. But yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a Chico play, man. You got Jordan Mailata on the right. You got, it's pretty much a scrum in rugby. That's how I kind of look at it. And we got to have a scrum too on the other side. And the scrum is, we have a cadence where we all go at once. It's not like you hard count or and this and that where, now you getting us or myself jumping over the pile thinking that they're about to snap the ball. And that's just my own personal opinion. And I'm going to leave it at that.
And what a loser. These people are absolutely disgraceful. How is it a cheapo play? He's complaining about a hard count that everybody, it's not fair because we can't time it up. Well, that's part of football. Find a way to stop it. And here was more. This was back in the NFL draft. And the team that's really led the charge on this, for whatever reason, is the Packers. I mean, the Eagles would have, won those games against the Packers without the tush push anyway last year. It seems to me they're just upset that they did get beaten twice, especially in the playoffs. But here was their CEO, Mark Murphy, talking with Kay Adams on why he thinks the play should be banned and why the Packers are trying to get it banned.
Well, all of us within the league are stewards of the game. And I am a hated man in Philadelphia now. I realize that. I just don't think it's a good play for the game. We put forward a proposal to ban it. And the vote on it in the league meeting in March was, 16 to 16. Mm-hmm. So we tabled it. We're going to go back. We're going to look at and probably adopt or propose the language that was in place 2005, and basically prohibited pushing or pulling runners. So, we'll see. Obviously we need, 8 or more people to switch from, votes against it for the and mm-hmm. to supporting the ban. So we'll see. I I mean, it's nothing against Philadelphia, but I think eventually you're going to see more and more teams do it because it's really difficult to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Just the reality of it, and it's more of a rugby play than a football play, I would say.
Well, as a former player, I'm just appealing to you. Like, you won a Super Bowl as a player, and then as an executive, what is it? You're very passionate about it. I feel like, and so are the Packers. What is it that makes you so passionate about this?
About that play?
About it not being a football play, about its place in the game.
Did you watch the NFC Championship game? Mm-hmm. Did you see what my old team, the Washington Commanders, were? I mean...
I did.
That's not good for football.
Mm.
You had players flying over the line of scrimmage to try to time it up, and now it's... Yeah, well, and the official actually said, if you do it again, we're going to award them a touchdown. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
In the NFL? No.
Are you confident? Do we feel optimistic that something will happen?
I would say cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace. Like, it doesn't even make sense what he's saying. I've never heard a ref do that before. And players flying over the line. That's the Commander's problem. That's not the Eagles'
literally
problem.
Literally, Luvu jumping over like 15 times.
Find a way to stop it. And I appreciate Kay Adams, who kind of pushed back a little bit. And I think you could tell by the tone of her voice. She's sitting across from the guy. She knows what he's saying is BS.
So you're a fraud.
Yeah. I mean, it's pathetic. These people are pathetic. And the thing that bothers me the most is the continual... Because you've heard these continual talking points. Oh, it's not good for the game. It's not aesthetically pleasing. But the thing that drives me more nuts than anything... Oh, it's a rugby play. I guarantee you these people... You think Frankie Luvu and Mark Murphy... are going out to the bar with the boys on Sunday afternoon, watching rugby games, rugby matches, I guess you'd call them. They don't know what the hell rugby looks like. You know who knows what that looks like? Jordan Mailata. Here's what Jordan Mailata had to say when asked about whether this is a quote-unquote rugby-style play.
How do you feel about the criticism that the play should be banned because it's a rugby play?
Who's saying that?
Peter King, notably, Peter very King. Much has been.
Shout out to Peter King.
Shout out to Peter. We love
shout
you, Peter.
Peter King.
Certainly a take that I don't understand why he said that. It's got nothing to do with any rugby movements.
You're saying it's not a rugby
play. It's not a rugby play.
Is it not similar to the scrum? How is it different than a scrum?
Dude, a scrum is much harder than the tush-push.
Do you at least incorporate rugby scrum techniques and fundamentals in the brotherly shove that you do?
I learned the brotherly shove here at the Eagles.
Okay.
I didn't incorporate anything. There's
so nothing
to carry over.
Okay.
You, JP, and Stout taught me the brotherly shove.
Teach me.
No.
I just do whatever you taught me all those years ago. That's what I do now. I don't want to give it away, but
yeah,
you know, I just do what you essentially taught me, and it works every time.
There you go. Jordan Mailata saying that he learned this from Jason Kelce, who was asking him the question. And this is the thing, man. These people... Who want to get this play banned, they're pathetic. And this whole situation is nothing more than jealousy. It goes against everything that sports are supposed to be about. Sports are supposed to be about competition. And when you're competing, one team comes up with something. This is the way sports have always worked. One team comes up with something that works. The other team needs to adjust and find a way to stop it. You don't make rules to outlaw play just because one team is good at it. And I'll continue to hammer down the same damn point that I've been saying for the last couple hours here, that I've been saying for the last couple months. I'm flustered here. That's how annoyed I am.
You're
about
hitting
this.
The table. We can all hear you hitting the table.
Because, Fran, this annoys me so much because these people are such babies. Like, find a way to stop the play.
It's loser. It's loser talk.
Because if everybody could do it, everybody do it. Why does nobody else do the play? Why does nobody else run the play? Because they're not able to execute it.
I'm with you.
Sorry.
I'm letting you cook. Go ahead.
No, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at Mark Murphy. I'm yelling at that loser Frankie Luvu. All these organizations out there. And I hope there are 8 organizations tomorrow with the balls to say, no, we are going to stand up for what's right. We're going to stand up for what's good. We're going to stand up for justice. And we're going to keep this in the game, even if it's bad for them.
Like what you said earlier, you said miscarriage of justice.
It is.
That was a good
term
by you.
It's a miscarriage of justice.
I'm going to start using that going forward.
And it really bothers me. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Bob in Drexel Hill. What's up, Bob?
I just got screamed at the top of my lungs. I agree.
I'm so sick of this. Okay, Josh Allen in the shotgun, rolls out, goes to get stops at the three, and it gets start pushing by his offensive lineman, his tight end, gets pushed in the end zone. Touchdown. You can't do it. People think it's just from the line of scrimmage with the push-tush. How are they going to regulate this? Where it's Lamar Jackson gets stopped at the two, and everybody starts pushing him in the end zone. Touchdown. I don't get this.
Well, you know,
Bob, how are they going to regulate this?
Bob, I think it's a fair point, and I think this is going to be something that the league is going to run into issues. Because how many times do you see, like, a running back run into a pile? And, yep. You know, there's a big pile, and the defense is pushing one way. The offense is pushing the other way. What do you do?
It's going to go to the point where blow the whistle. They're going to have to go to replay. Blow the whistle. When was the whistle blown? Forward progress was stopped. How many times have you seen Kelsey get a bull's way in with two guys pushing him in the end zone? I don't get it.
Right.
They got to stop this.
And this is the thing, Bob. It's going to – like, this is the problem. The league is so hell-bent on stopping the Eagles from running this play, they're not thinking about all the other fallout from it.
They're not thinking about all the other ways
it's going to affect the game.
I agree 100%. It's going to – I don't know how they're going to do it. I'll show you my age. I remember back in the day. Forward progress was stopped. John Riggins, going back in the day, you couldn't get the first down. It's going to hurt football, man. Just let them play football and try to stop it. I agree.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Bob, and I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. And yeah, I mean, I think there are some interesting things about it. Now, I know one thing that people have brought up, because the way it was worded was like, would it outlaw combo blocks? That's not what it's going to be. But there are so many instances that I feel like we don't even think of during game where, yeah, there's a pile and there are players that are pushed and pulled. And it's like, are we going to throw flags on all of these instances? And that's what's going to be so bothersome to me. Because I don't think they're going to. I think they're only going to throw flags on the tush push. Like, let's be very honest about what this is. This is not a health and safety issue. Again, and I thought Jeffrey Lurie did an unbelievable job at the owners' meetings of basically coming out and, you know, as nicely as possible saying, yeah, this is the biggest load of BS I've ever seen. Because, you know, he was asked about the injury part of it. He said, well, like, we haven't seen any data. Like, I'm all for health and safety. And if we had any data to say that this is more dangerous than a normal play, we wouldn't do it. But until somebody shows us that data, until somebody shows us that information, then, I mean, there's no reason why it should be outlawed. And there is no reason. Like, that's the thing. We can keep looking and we can keep searching, and the buzzwords, the popular phrases out there, rugby play, not aesthetically pleasing, not good for the game, that all these people have thrown out there over the last couple months, they can say whatever they want. But in the end, there is no real reason other than the Eagles are good at it and nobody else can do it and they want to stop the Eagles. And it's just pathetic. And again, like, if the Eagles were not good, we wouldn't be talking about this. Like, nobody's talking about this after 2023. This was an issue after two seasons. This was an issue after the Eagles went to the Super Bowl in 2022 and after the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year. And I just don't know how. And this is where Roger Goodell is just a weasel, honestly. Because if you were truly interested in doing what's right for your league, doing what's best for your league, and doing what's fair for your league, to be honest with you, I mean, you would not be on the side of getting banned. You would want to do what is right, but hey, we know Roger Goodell doesn't really care about that. Let's go to Jay in West Philly. What's up, Jay? Yo, Jay. Let's throw Jay on hold. Let's go to Billy in Jersey. What's up, Billy?
Hey, how you doing there, Tom?
Good. What's happening?
I love your passion on your show. It's great. But I'll tell you, after your truth and justice tirade a couple of minutes ago, I'm 72. I'm ready to go join the Marines, man.
Hey, Billy, this thing bothers me, man. It's not fair. It's not right.
You know, you're preaching to the choir. All of us Eagles fans here would love to see this continue and keep it going the way it's going and getting the one up on all the other teams that need cheese with their wine, you know, then get it from Green Bay. But anyway, as we speak, I can almost guarantee you that you have Nick Sirianni and his boys working on several plans to get by this, because they probably got it in their heads that it's going to be done. And they're working on it, and it's one play. It's a very important play, but it's one play, and it's not going to – it's the same as a player going down. One player goes down, it doesn't wreck the team. You don't stop playing.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Billy. I think it's such an important play that I think it could cost them games. I mean, you look at how many times the Eagles have been able to execute this play. It's a critical part of the game where, I mean, you watch other NFL games, and I'm sure you do. Teams struggle in third and fourth and short all the time. Like, getting a touchdown from the one-yard line is really only guaranteed for the Eagles. And, I mean, you turn some of those touchdowns into field goals. You don't convert some of those third and fourth and ones. That's the difference between losing and winning and losing games.
Yeah, and the sad part, one more thing before I go. I know your time was. The sad part about it is everybody in the league, the Redskins, well, the Commodes, the Bills, the Packers, every one of them that bitched and moaned about this, they can't do it half. They can't even do it a tenth as good as we can.
No.
You know, and it shows that they're whiners. They want to take their ball and go home.
No, I agree, Billy, and I appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. And yeah, I mean that's the truth. I mean there are a lot of complainers out there. That's all this is. And I thought sports were about competing. I thought it was about if one team does something well, if one team is great at something, you do whatever you can to stop it. I mean, these teams have great coaching staffs. They invest so much time. They have millions and billions of dollars. You invest in your organization. Find a way to stop the play. The Eagles have found a way to run it this well. Find a way to stop it. You shouldn't change the rules just to negatively impact one team. And let's face it, that's exactly what's happening here. It's nothing other than that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Time for What to Watch For. What to Watch For is brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. And What to Watch For, real quick. I wanted to quickly remark on a couple of the debates that I heard on WIP today. Now, tomorrow, if you were listening to the end of the afternoon show, that's all the teaser you needed for Spike versus Jolly tomorrow at 3 on Daryl Morey. That is going to be very intense. I know this is a topic that both Spike and Paul feel very strongly about, and they're going to be face-to-face. I think it's going to get contentious, but it should be very interesting. So make sure you're tuned in for that tomorrow. But I listened to Jolly versus Joe today, and their debate was about Andrew Painter and whether the Phillies should move him to the bullpen or keep him in the starting rotation. As I said before, I was a little disappointed in the way Jolly got started. I thought he started out of the gate a little slow. Now, to be fair, he may be a little bit of a victim of his own success. Like, kind of like Bryce Harper, where Bryce Harper, you look at this here, it's not like he's been awful. But Bryce Harper has set such a high bar that you expect him to be great all the time. I expect Jolly in these debates to be coming out, be firing from the first second. I felt like it took him a little bit of time today, and I thought Joe had the better points. I thought Joe won the argument. I do think Painter ultimately makes sense, and you look at, and I don't think the Phillies are going to do it, to be honest with you, but one of the things that bothers me is like this myth, and Jolly had said this during the debate, starting pitching wins championships. That's not true. Like, that's been definitively proven wrong twice in Phillies history. I mean, you look at 2011, you look at last year. Both of those years, the Phillies had great starting pitching in the playoffs, and they lost the NLDS. And, I mean, they didn't get a bad outing from their starter last year in the postseason. So I don't think that's necessarily true. You look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers last year, they won a World Series. They were running bullpen games out there regularly. So in this day and age of Major League Baseball, I think we need to evolve and realize, yeah, bullpens are just as important. And it's more about matchups. And I do think the Phillies right now, we talked about this a lot last night, is their roster is lopsided. I mean, they have way too many starters. They don't have enough relievers. And I think that's something that they're going to need to address. So I'd give Joe the debate there. And then I also thought, Joe beat Ike in their argument when they were talking about Joel Embiid. And basically, would you trade him now or not? And it's tough because I see both sides of this. But here's my opinion where it comes to the Sixers ultimately. You can't build around Joel Embiid. Like, this is where I am. I know it's painful to admit, but this thing has been a failure. The last 12 years are for nothing. That's where we are. You are never going to win anything with Joel Embiid as a centerpiece of your team. You're not. And first off, we know he won't be healthy. Even if he does make it to the postseason, he won't make it through. He's not a winning player. I mean, at this point, he's still got to get lectured and called out by a guy 10 years younger than him, Tyrese Maxey, about why it's important to work hard, why it's important to do the right things. And, you know, I'm just done with it. You look at Embiid in the postseason, he's never come through in the postseason. I mean, he comes up small in the playoffs. He doesn't have it. And as I said this last night, the Sixers will not be headed in the right direction until they come to that realization. This is not the guy you build around. And it's why I find these rumors about trading the third pick in the draft to be absolutely crazy. Like, you finally have an asset that you can build around long term. I'm pleading with the Sixers to not do that, to for once do the right thing. And the right thing is they can't look at next year with Joel Embiid in mind. Like, if you don't want to trade him because you just think you're going to get minimal value back and it's not worth it, then I can understand that. Like, I can live with that. But what you cannot do is go into next year and think building your team about how we're going to surround Joel Embiid and Paul George. That would be a monumental mistake. Like, that would be a stupid thing to do. That's not something the Sixers can do. They need to be thinking about 2 to 3 years beyond. And if you get Joel Embiid coming in and he's ready to play and whenever he's out there, fine. Like, you look at it that way. He's an addition. But I am treating next year as if we're not going to have Joel Embiid. That's the way you got to think about it. And you got to look at this thing 2 to 3 years in the future. Because building around Joel all these years and thinking about him first, where has that gotten you? That's only led you to make mistakes. Look at last offseason. The Sixers thought about this year, the season that just passed, in terms of this is our last good chance to win with Joel Embiid. Where did that get you? It got you $212 million for Paul George, who, you know, is old, is injured, and I don't think really has all that much interest in playing basketball anyway. So I'd prefer to trade Embiid if you can, but if you're not going to get value for him, you want to hold him, you can. I could at least live with that. But the one thing you can't do, you can't be making moves because of Joel Embiid. You can't fool yourself into thinking you can compete next year. And I can already hear Daryl Morey saying, oh, well, you know, the East is wide open. The Celtics don't have Tatum for a lot of the year. The Bucks are a disaster with Giannis. And that's the only way I'm planning to go for anything next year is if you get Giannis. You're not getting Giannis. I know those rumors have been out there, floated out there by people. That's a pipe dream. That's not reality. There's no way you're getting Giannis from the Bucks. You got to think of in terms of the future. And until the Sixers do that, they're just going to be spinning their wheels and putting themselves in a bad situation. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. When we get back, then you're taking your calls. Also, an interesting piece of Phillies news wanted to get to as well. So that's coming up. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly. What is this, Fran? I see you in there. You're like, nodding your head, man. You're fired up.
Bad Religion. By Godsmack.
Oh, okay. That's not the name of the band. That's the name of the song.
No, the name of the band is Godsmack.
I've heard that name.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You like it?
Not particularly, no.
Too heavy for you?
A little too heavy.
Yeah, because you're soft.
So that's too big of a band for one of your mosh pits at like.
Oh, no, there's mosh pits there. It's just not. It's not like a small venue.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's not one of the venues.
They're not playing at the church right around
the
corner.
Yeah, they're not playing at the church.
There you go.
It's so weird to me that you go to these like heavy metal, like what would you call it? Heavy metal?
Hardcore shows.
Hardcore.
Yep.
That they do these at churches. It just seems like an odd match.
Yeah, well, you know? It's funny you say that because a month ago I saw this band called God's Hate. So we saw God's hate in a church.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
I'm surprised they allow that there.
You know? That's... Yeah. Every week.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the info. I appreciate it. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But talking a lot about the tush push tonight. Tomorrow is the day that we will get resolution on this. And I'll just warn you right now, if the play gets banned, and I fully expect it to get banned, I'm going to unleash hell tomorrow night. God's hate won't have anything on me tomorrow night if this thing gets banned. I'm gonna be going crazy. I'm gonna be irritated because this, as I said, and Fran liked this term, it's a miscarriage of justice. It is wrong. It is wrong what the NFL is doing to the Eagles. This is a witch hunt that they are out to punish one team. This is not a situation where this is happening across the league. And the thing that bothers me the most is, you know, they say it's not a football play. All the crap that they throw out there, which it's in one ear, out the other, because you know it's meaningless anyway. If the Bills were able to run this play properly, and that's why Sean McDermott, more than anybody, that dude is the biggest fraud out there. He is I don't care, he's a local guy. Sean McDermott is a loser and he's a clown. That's what he is. The fact that he would come out and say at the meetings last month that, you know, this play needs to be banned, health, safety, BS, whatever. You know what? You run the play. And if you ran the play right, if you were able to do it successfully, you would have gotten the Super Bowl. But you didn't because you're a loser and your team couldn't do it. And if everybody else could do this, if you were able to do it the way the Eagles could, do you think of Sean McDermott and the Bills got that first down? Do you think Sean McDermott's arguing against the play? I don't think so. I think this is strictly because you can't do it with the effectiveness the Eagles do. You don't like that somebody has an advantage over you, and it's pathetic. And all these people that want it banned are pathetic. It's embarrassing. And talking about it on ESPN right now, this is a huge story, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. But It would be a disgrace. It would be an absolute disgrace if this thing gets banned. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Mention the Sixers in the last segment with the debate days going on. I get if they can't trade Joel Embiid, but you can't go into next season like building around Embiid and Paul George. That would be a huge mistake. The Sixers, they need to look at the next 2 to 3 years until they admit and acknowledge that this thing's just not going to work. They're not going anywhere. It's not going to work out. So I want to get your thoughts on that. And real quick before we go back to the phones, did want to touch on a Phillies report from earlier today, or from either earlier today or last night, that the Phillies, and this was prior to the Jose Alvarado suspension, that they'd reached out to 40-year-old David Robertson about potentially wanting to come back and join the bullpen. I don't know. Like, I know that numbers-wise he had a decent year last year. I don't want any part of David Robinson. Robertson. He's old. He was not good in his first two stints here. I mean, what happened in the playoffs last time? Didn't he get injured celebrating a home run or something? He jumped and injured his calf and was out for part of the postseason. But David Robertson, he's 40 years old. He's not that good. You don't that's not the move you make at this point. And the Phillies, you know, they can explore all these other options out there. But in the end, what it comes down to, eventually they're going to need to convert a starter to the bullpen. That just, I mean, and this is something that if they didn't see this during the offseason, then that's just a lack of foresight. I don't know what else to say. But right now, you have, what, 8, 9 potential starters when Painter's ready in a few weeks? You count Mick Abel down in AAA, Nola when he comes back from the IL, Taiwan Walker. You have too many starters and not enough slots. And if you want your best arms at the major league level, which should be the goal. Like, you need to get your best pitchers here, whether they're in the bullpen or starting. I said last night, I think they should move Ranger Suarez to the bullpen. I was against this last week. The Alvarado situation changed my mind. That's what I would do. But regardless of whether it's Ranger, whoever, you need to convert a starter to the bullpen. And the quicker the Phillies acknowledge that and deal with that reality, the better off they'll be. But that's where this is headed. You don't look for external options right now. You're not going to be able to trade for anybody legitimate in May anyway. I don't want to sign 40-year-old David Robertson. you're going to need to convert a start of the bullpen. That's just what's going to need to happen eventually. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Kashmir. What's up, Kashmir?
What's going on there, TK? Yeah, the tush push. And so I have the tush push, and then just about like 15 seconds on the Phillies and the Jose Alvarado, and possibly moving some of the bullpen, just if I could, real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so the tush push, I believe it should be kept. I think you're just penalizing the Eagles because they're just better at it than everybody else. And I agree with you, Sean McDermott and I don't know what's his name from the Green Bay Packers. If they could run it as effectively as the Eagles can, something tells me they would not be lobbying for it to be banned. That's just my opinion. And this is me coming from, I'm not even an Eagles fan. Okay. Full disclosure, I'm not an Eagles fan. I think everyone on WIP knows that. I'm a Falcons fan, which I also feel embarrassed because my head coach wants to ban it as well. So I feel embarrassed about that.
Yeah. He's one of the losers, Raheem Morris. Maybe Kashmir, I think he should spend more time learning how to manage a clock, honestly.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said to Joe Giglio the other day, actually.
Like, yeah, that would be a much better use of his time and maybe more productive, yeah.
Yeah, I actually called New Atlanta, and I actually said the same thing about Raheem Morris. I said he should learn to manage the clock better, because if he actually managed to learn to manage the clock better, his team would have been in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
So that would have been something. Again, you know, but again, whatever. And real quick, also with the tush push, here's the thing. And like what I think one of your callers said before, TK, how many times do you watch other football games? And you probably watch other games besides the Eagles, obviously. But, you know, the Eagles are number one. But I'm sure you watch football regardless, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you see, you know, a running back running for 20, 25 yards, or, you know, even going down to the goal line, and then he's getting stopped, and then you see his offensive lineman pushing him into the end zone or pushing him past a first down? You going to flag that too? Because that's exactly what I think, you know, Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman are probably saying to other teams, like, listen, do you realize this affects you as well? You're affecting us. You're not just affecting us, but you're affecting yourself as well, because you're no longer allowed to aid your runner into a first down. And it happens all the time. It happens all the time. It gets into a scrum. So just ban that as well. I'm sorry, but that's not good football if you're going to ban that too, because I personally like seeing that.
Well, yeah, and Kashmir, I think this is the thing. Like, there are a ton of these instances where, you know, I don't know if they realize the language of this rule is going to affect a lot of different elements of the game.
Yeah,
and I think when it comes
the Falcons too, believe it or not, because they had, I can tell you how many times I actually watched Raheem Morris. I watched one of the Falcons running backs actually got like 15 yards, actually got like an extra 10 yards off of his offensive lineman pushing him down the field.
Right. And
I actually saw that.
And when, like, it comes to this, Kashmir, they're so hell-bent on getting this play out of the game that they're not even thinking about that stuff.
Yeah, and here's the thing. And real quick on the Phillies. Yeah, obviously, they need to do something about the bullpen right now. Obviously, TK, obviously we expect them to make a trade come July. I hope they don't give up Miller or Painter, but I'm expecting they're probably going to give up a really good prospect. Unfortunately, that's just what this Jose Alvarado suspension just does, because now it's a domino effect, because we're going to have to part with one of our top prospects, which I don't want to do, but unfortunately we're going to have to do it. But now, obviously, we're going to need a fix till July, because it's middle of May. No one is going to trade us a high-leverage reliever, no matter how much we're offering right now. No one's going to do that. No one's going to do that right now. So my thought, it's like, and like you said, it's a lopsided roster. It's like a football. It's like we have like 10 starting pitchers. You know, when you look down in the minors, who are good starters, who can come up and actually start a game for us anytime, along with even Aaron Nola and Ranger Suarez and Taiwan Walker. And we have, like, no relievers. That's like a football team, DK. That's like a football team having 8-10 wide receivers and, like, one running back and no running back.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It's a lopsided roster.
It's true, Kashmir.
Some of these guys has got to be
Yeah, it's true, man. I appreciate the call. And this is the thing. It was always going to be this way. Like, regardless of Alvarado's suspension. And this is, again, to go back to the offseason. The Jesus Luzardo trade was a great trade. Like, nobody's ever argued against that part of it. The part that I just didn't get, like, the Phillies had to have had it in their minds all, the whole time. Okay, well, we have too many starters and not enough slots. Like, you never had enough spots for all these guys. So the plan, I feel like, had to be to move one of these guys to the bullpen, because this was an extremely predictable scenario. Like, this was a very foreseeable situation that you were going to get to the point with, regardless of Alvarado. Like, you were light in the bullpen even with Alvarado. You had what? Even as of now, and Romano's pitching great now, so he's kind of changed the perception of him a little bit. But Romano, Strom, Alvarado, they're the guys that you could trust. Now, you take one of those guys away, you got two guys you can trust. That was always going to be the case. Like, don't give me Tanner Banks as a trustworthy piece out of the bullpen. Tanner Banks is a mop-up guy. That's what he does. He is in low-leverage situations, games that are lopsided either way. Last night he comes out, he pitches the ninth inning in a 9-3 game. That's what Tanner Banks is. That's what his role is. He's not a high-leverage lefty. Don't try to sell us that. The other guys, you know, Hernandez, I know he pitched a high-leverage inning last night. I guess he'll get more of those opportunities. I don't have a ton of confidence he's going to be great in those situations. A little different when you're facing the Rockies as when you're facing, you know, some of the better teams in Major League Baseball. And I just feel like the eventuality here is that they're going to need to move one of these starters. I know it's not necessarily ideal, but I just don't see any other way around it. And I'm still really just frustrated with Alvarado, man. I mean, it was a selfish decision. There's no excuse. And, you know, it really hurts his team. And in terms of the top prospects, the Phillies have obviously been hesitant to trade those guys over the last few years. Well, this is probably going to cost you the top prospect now. Like, because you're going to need to fill that spot at the deadline. You're not going to be able to do it now. Nobody's trading you a high-leverage reliever. You're probably not getting one till at least, like, July 20th. With the expanded playoffs, teams just think they're going to be in it for a while. So it's not a great position to be in, and the Alvarado injury really hurts them. Let's go to Christine in Doylestown. What's up, Christine?
Hey. Hey, Tom. Listen, I'm over here, like, incensed about this whole, you know, tush-push thing. Where, you know, to the point where, you know, like, it's a football play, dude. Like let them play football. Like, if it's a play, it's a play. Like, how are you going to ban that? And this is going to set a precedent for then. What else are we going to ban?
Yeah.
You know, and wait, I've never seen one person be carted off the field after that play. Have you?
No. That's the thing, Christine. They bring up the health and safety stuff. Nobody's gotten hurt on this play. The only person who has ever I've seen come off the field somewhat bothered or injured was Chris Jones, the guy on the Chiefs. And that's because he was laying sideways to try to stop it, which if you're lined up in a stupid position, then that's on you. That's not on the Eagles.
Right. No, I'm telling you, I have to ask you, where is this vote taking place? Like, physically, where is it? Where are they?
I am not sure. I don't know where it is happening.
Okay. Because, I mean, you know.
Set up a protest?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm planning a protest, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, of course we're not going to do
Well, Christine, I can tell you, unfortunately, I don't think it's happening in Doylestown.
Yeah. Dude, I have a car.
Yeah. Well, I hear you, Christine. Well, I appreciate the call. Thanks for...
let's just hope.
Yeah,
right?
Let's hope. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, that would be... What would we have for... Like, we could have, you know, costumes. I don't know. A bunch of people dressed up with, you know... Butt hats or something? I don't know.
Heck, it's a butt hat.
I don't know. I'm just trying
to. Butt hat?
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know.
Why would you say that?
Like,
if you
a hat in the shape of a butt?
Oh,
I'm sure you could find something. You could find anything.
Would you
these
wear
days.
That?
If I was protesting the tush push, sure.
You should be wearing that all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Literally a butt head. There you go.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jay. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, TK? How you feeling, man?
Good, man. What's happening?
So real quick, I'll touch on a couple points, man. So the tush push, people in positions of power, like the NFL owners, man, when they push for something, they normally get their way with all sorts of things.
Well, so and this is the thing. This is the thing, Jay. It's not just the owners. Like, the most frustrating thing is, I think this is what Goodell wants. I think that's why it's going to happen.
Also to remember, look, man, he's their mouthpiece. Mm-hmm. You know, he works for them.
Right.
You know, he directly works for them. So even if he didn't really care, if they told him we care about it, then he cares about it. So
yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I call him a weasel. I don't mess with him because he's the owner's lackey. So yeah. So now I hope, and I said this earlier, that I think with the coach that we have, we're going to turn this into a rallying cry, and we're going to be real petty at the Super Bowl afterwards when we say, yeah, we pushed a bunch of tushers over the end zone to win the Super Bowl this year, and everybody's going to love it. So you know what? I think they just gave us something to rally around, and we needed it. Every champion needs something to rally around.
Well, Jay, I hope so, but I'm just worried about it, man. Like, I think you look at how much this play has been instrumental to the Eagles' success. I'm worried about what they're going to do without it.
So I'll ask you these couple quick questions. Where do you think the Eagles' offensive line is ranked in the NFL?
I think they're the best offensive line.
Okay, good. Now, our running back, where do you have him ranked in?
He's the best running back.
Did our quarterback go to a Super Bowl with an RPO scheme?
Yeah, sure.
Don't be scared, bro.
No, he did. Yeah, he did.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. The play was basically unstoppable.
Yeah.
But, hey, guess what, man? That's why we got coaches, man. You got to scheme this thing. And I don't even think it's going to take a lot of scheme. I think we can line up and overpower most lines, man. And if it's fourth and a couple of yards, man, we bring back the RPO, you don't know what we're going to do. Now you don't know if we're going to go power, if we're going to run it. So I think it'll just open up a different alley. Don't get me wrong. I'm upset. I wish that we still had it. But, you know, I do feel like we have the players that, man, we can, you know, we can be good.
Well, I hope so, Jay. Sure. What do you got on the debates real quick?
Oh, so the six, so got to get rid of Embiid. And I love Embiid. I don't blame Embiid for everything in his career. Just like Ben Simmons wasn't good enough for us to win a championship because he didn't shoot. So you can't make as much money as a Ben Simmons did because you can't pull in guys that make more than him that are better than him. So we can't keep Embiid. In two or three more years, he gets like $60 million, right? So we can't get good enough players that will play long enough for him to be the third, fourth best guy on the team. And so we can't win a championship with him. Jared McCain is not good enough to be the second best player on a championship team. Tyrese Maxey's not good enough to be the first best player on a championship team. So really, we don't have it in place. Paul George don't want to be here. We really got to break this thing up. Get rid of Embiid. Wait till Paul George is gone. It's going to be a few years before we're a valuable team again.
Yeah, and Jay, I appreciate the call. And that's the thing. I just want the Sixers to deal in that reality because every year they don't is a year we get set back further. Like, I get it's difficult to come to that determination, that reality, that this thing didn't work. And it's over. And we need to move in a different direction. But every year the Sixers don't do that sets them back more. And if they end up trading this pick, which is the one asset they have, for like the rumors that were out there yesterday, Paul George and number three, and Paul, I'd love Paul George to be gone. Like, trust me. But trading Paul George and number three for Kevin Durant, and I love Kevin Durant as a player. He's one of my favorite players of all time. They're not going to win with Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid. Like, that's not going to work. Those guys are going to get hurt. They're older. It's just not going to work. And if you trade this one asset that you legitimately have, it would just set you back way further, and it would not be a smart decision for the Sixers to make. Let's go to Mark in Sea Isle. What's up, Mark?
Hey, TK. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
I want to talk about one side of this tush-push ban, which is absurd, that I don't get why more people aren't talking about. And you tell me what makes sense. I'm not making an injury argument. I'm using this as an example because, like you said, there's no data on the injuries. But years ago when they did the quarterback rules, you understood the argument because you had half the people saying, this is a player, we should be able to hit him. And you had half the side saying, if our quarterback's, it's bad for the game. Well, no matter what side you were on, you understood the argument.
Mm-hmm.
With this tush-push, what is it taking away from the game? It's taking away punts. Who is crying for more punts? That's what I don't understand. And everyone says it's bad for the game. More punts are good for the game?
Well,
I don't get it.
Yeah, well, Mark, I think what they're looking at is they're looking at the plays down on the goal line more than anything, is they want those to be plays where there's some drama involved. They want, you know, fourth and ones. They don't want these to be automatic conversions. But this is the thing. You cannot punish one team just for being good at something. And that's all this is. But it's not about anything else.
But then I just can't believe the league hasn't looked at how many drives it's extended for the Eagles. And they, for years, they've tried to have more scoring drives, less punts. And why aren't they thinking it from that angle? You know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Mark, I don't know, man. And it's something, and I appreciate the call, Mark. Thanks. I think our last caller, Jay, probably had it right. This is what the owners want. And it's like, we need to understand it. These are human beings, and they're petty. And in the end, they don't like that one organization, one team can do something none of them can do. None of the rest of them can do. And it's really that, like, when you boil it down, it feels oversimplified, but it's really that easy. It's really that simple. It's just these teams are jealous. They're jealous they can't do it. And, I mean, unfortunately, it's probably going to happen. Let's go to Kay in Cherry Hill. What's up, Kay?
Hey, great show. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
Quick Phillies, super quick Sixers, and I want to get to the Tush Push.
Okay.
Topper, he's going to protect his guys. But the one thing he's not doing, he's not demoting based on performance, and he's not promoting based on performance. If he starts to do that, everything will fall in line. Guys are out there stinking it up, and I'm just – tight games, I'm just so tired of seeing Brandon Marsh, but I'll get to the Sixers. That third pick.
I will say, though, Kay, Marsh had a good at bat last night in a big spot. Seven pitch and bat ended in a single.
He keeps getting opportunities, but once the season matters I don't want to take all the time on Marsh, but the Sixers, the third pick, you have to go, at, whether it be Euro, college, you have to find the best big man available for the future. Whatever you do with that pick, it has to involve finding a young big man that'll develop. And as far as Maxey and McCain, they've only been here a couple years. If you're going to give up on your draft picks in 1 or 2 years, you're going to be drafting forever trying to find somebody. You got to let them mature. But you have to use this third pick to find a big man, whether that be Euro or college.
Well, I think you just take the best player. Like, I think you need to take the player who you think, you know, probably has the highest upside.
I think our 1, 2, and 3 spots are young and underdeveloped, and we at least got to give them some more time to flourish. But we know where our 5 spot or 4, wherever he wants to be. We know that's on a downslide. We have to prioritize that spot. But that we have to use that on a big man. Well, but to the Tush Push, I just think it's ironic that every substantial rule change affects this city, from the widening of the lane to Wilt, the zone change for AI, now in the Tush Push. I mean, as somebody who did some offensive coordinator at the high school level or whatever, that's every offensive coordinator's dream, to draw up a play that's unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Someone did it, and now you're trying to take it away. And, I mean, all the offensive coordinators in the NFL – should be standing up against this, whether they can't, you know, their team can't stop it or not, because, you know, that's, you know, every offensive coordinator's dream, to draw up the unstoppable play. Someone did it, and I mean, it's ridiculous to try to ban that.
I hear you, Kay, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's just unfair. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I'll be on same time tomorrow night, so we'll react. We should have an answer, and we'll react to whatever happens. But I'll just let you know, if it gets banned, I'm gonna go insane tomorrow night. Are you producing tomorrow night, Fran?
I'll be here.
Oh, man. I'm just warning you. I'm going to go nuts.
I'm scared.
All right.
You're a scary man.
Well, you should be.
You're intimidating.
Well, yes, I know. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. When we get back, we'll get to leading off Phillies Rockies tonight. Game 2 of their 4-game series. That's coming up. Get you ready for that coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.